right. Hello, guys, and welcome to episode 59. I'm with a very special guest today, a good friend of mine, PJ Mercanti, the CEO of Carmen's Group. What can I say? A Hamilton local CEO of the year. And today we have him in the hot seat.
Great to be here. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah. Just before we get started, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Again, this podcast couldn't be here without you, without, you know, local rock stars like PJ. And just taking some time out to share it, enjoy it. If you get some value from it, please like and comment. And today we're going to get into it because, you know, it's Saturday morning here. The sky is as blue as can be, not a cloud in sight. And PJ's taking his morning to spend it with us. So we're so excited to have you.
Thanks, buddy. It's a beautiful day.
It's
a beautiful day.
That's it. It's a good day to have a good day.
Absolutely.
So, you know, if someone didn't know you, how do we get started to get to know you?
So I wear a lot of hats. You know, first, I'm a family man, you know, proud to be, you know, a husband, a father, got a beautiful wife, three kids, large extended family. And so family is I'd say the first part of my identity, but obviously best known for my role with Carmen's Group. So get to serve Carmen's Group and the various interests within it. And, you know, also wear a community hat. I'm involved in a lot of different community initiatives as well. So on any given moments of any given day, I'm wearing one of those hats. And so I'm, that's who I am in a nutshell. But I'd say being a family man is the first part of who I am.
Perfect. I love that. Yeah. And, you know, seeing you around with the kids and the wife, it's amazing. And seeing the Instagram stories on the weekends is always fun. Yeah. So let's take it back a little bit. That's one of the questions we've been kind of getting the juices flowing with is, what was your first paid job? I can only imagine what your first job was, but when did somebody open the pocketbook and actually give you a dollar?
So my father brought my brother Joe and I to Carmen's one Sunday afternoon. Okay. And this is maybe 88, 89. I was, you know, 9. Joey was 6 or 7. He had us shining cutlery with vinegar and a napkin for an entire Sunday afternoon, then gave us a crisp $20 bill
at the end. So it was
a little cash on the side to start. But that was the first time. So we would join Dad on you know on weekends. But then it was ninth grade when I started working at what was Carmen's Banquet Hall. It's Carmen's Event Center now. But we, Joe and I, worked there as servers throughout high school. So we were very involved in serving at the different events that we were hosting. And that was 3 nights, usually Friday, Saturday, Sundays throughout high school. So we got to the point where we ended up supervising events and maitre d'ing and then bartending. So we learned all elements of the business. But that was the first job with a paycheck. And it was funny because we would work an 8-hour shift, make 50, you know, at that time, it was $7 an hour, something like that. So we would be happy. You'd make $50 or, you know, $55 for an 8-hour shift. And you worked a weekend, it was 150, and it went a long way back then.
Yeah.
So $150 as a high school kid, went a long way. So it was a fun early days. Yeah. And it was great because a lot of our friends also worked at Carmen's, and so it was so there was a social component to it too. But yeah, I was fortunate that the first job is still the current job. It's the roles and responsibilities have changed and evolved, but it's pretty cool and special that I'm still spending time in the same place that I started at 35 years ago, which is kind of crazy to think.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what was the biggest takeaway from your customer service days?
It was a wonderful opportunity for me to learn about people and different people and the need to kind of use different strategies in dealing with different people. Like it was such a any given event, you know, I'd serve a table, and one table's vibe and energy and mannerisms could be totally different than another. So it forced me and taught me how to deal with different types of people. And so you'd need to be a bit of a chameleon, of sorts in changing your, you know, your service, strategies and deliveries. Some people wanted to talk and be engaged, others didn't. Others just, you know, so you had to kind of learn how to read the room and read your customer's energy. But I learned a lot about people, and how, you know, everybody's got a different personality type. And now, you know, today, you know, our customers, we've got different lines of businesses, but in the role that I'm in today, my main constituency are my team members, right? And similarly, I've got to work with them around, their needs and their mannerisms, and tailor my leadership and tailor my interactions to what's going to click with them. Because they're all different. And so just learning about how different people are was a wonderful thing in my early days at Carmen's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible being able to change and adapt, being the one with the emotional intelligence to see it.
Sure.
Right?
For sure.
And not be that stiff board that just pumped around.
No, absolutely. And that's an important thing. Just the having emotional intelligence and having that instinct to be able to pick up on energy. And it's an important, not everybody has that, right? You know, there's a certain, cross-section of society that just don't have that same instinct to read others' energy. And so I'm blessed that our family, you know, being in hospitality, have that instinct. And so it's, but having, if you can find people that have emotional intelligence, and they're a part of your team, that's a gift.
I'm going to bring it back to an interview. It was Pints with the President.
Sure.
And we talked about some interview questions, and I thought that needed to be recorded. So when you're building your team, because, you know, for anybody that knows PJ, you just got to, you know, put his name into Google. But we only have so much time here, so I'm just trying to get the most out of it. But he leads a team of leaders, you know, and it flows. It flows from every interaction I've had with not only him, but his team, and down to the wait staff, the cook staff, the door people, everybody that I've interacted to at any of his businesses that I've been able to enjoy have had that. So what are some of these, I'll never forget, but for the listeners, what are the interview questions that you ask?
So the one that we usually close with, and it's a fun one. It's a more loose and engaging question, but we always close the interview with asking a candidate, if you could have dinner with any three people in all of history, dead or alive, who would they be and why? Yeah. So that's the first part of the question. And we love that because it gives you insight into who they are, into their psyche, into what matters, what they value, into where their, you know, where their interests outside of work are. And so we love it for that reason. And the answers we get are all over the map. A lot of times people will say deceased family members, a grandparents, a sibling, and that shows that they've got an important family component to them. Others will share somebody that inspired them, you know, a Walt Disney or a writer of a book that they really admire. Yeah. Others, you know, will pick a musician or some others. There was just one recently, a gentleman said, I want to have dinner with my dad, my brother, and Putin. I'm like, oh, okay. That's an interesting dinner conversation. But you get to see, you know, dynamics of people, what they value. Part two of the question is, and being in the hospitality industry, we like to ask this. So that's who you're bringing to dinner. What are you serving them? So what food are you going to cook for them? And what's the drink of choice? And this gives us insight into, do you know about good food and good drink and good hospitality? And the ones that can give a bit more flavor and detail in their answers and have a bit more intention and thoughtfulness into what they share. We're like, okay, these are going to be the people that will be more attentive to customers. If they're answering that question, with, you know, fun, exciting, engaging details, they're the people we want. The people that just say, oh, I'll just serve them, you know, chicken and meat and some, maybe some wine. Like, that doesn't really get you excited. I want the people that talk about, the type of pasta, the type of sauce, having some, you know, cheese and pecorino cheese or different, you know, different spices in it. People talking about a specific type of wine that they enjoy, a type of Italian wine or a type of California Cab Sauv. So something a bit more detailed, but we love it asking that question. But it's fascinating the different people that others would love to have dinner with. Who would you have if Dan could have any three people in all of history over, who would they be?
It was funny because I was thinking about this because I knew you were going to ask. I think Wayne Gretzky, my father, who's passed. And I was thinking about this a little bit in terms of like a mind, like who would the mind be? Hmm. And I think it'd be Jim Rohn.
Okay.
You read some books with him. And then I was thinking about, okay, what are we going to serve? And I was trying to stir up some flavor. So I'm going to go with something here. So I'm going to go with a tomahawk steak.
Ooh.
It's going to be cooked medium rare.
Love it.
Just garnished with a little bit of fresh pepper, little bit of salt, maybe black salt. Not sure yet. Maybe Himalayan. And then it'll be sided with a garlic mash, some sauteed mushrooms, steamed asparagus that's grilled afterwards. And then it would be started off with a nice Caesar salad, of course, anchovies, and then bacon crumble bits. So that would be my go-to. And then to start to drink, we do a smoked Manhattan, King Cube.
Love it.
And then we'd get into the real stuff. So we'd start doing some tequilas, maybe on the rocks, maybe with some soda, but it's depending on the flavor.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's a... You had me at tomahawk steak there.
You know, it's a...
And a nice cocktail to start. I love starting with a nice cocktail.
Yeah, you got to ease off that. Yeah. I made the mistake in my early days to keep going with those. They don't last.
No. One is a good, maybe two, but one or two to start. Switch gears after that. Yeah,
you got to switch it up.
Right on.
And I think, you know, what comes to me and for anybody listening, especially the entrepreneurs that tune into this, which I'm sure there are many, just the thoughtfulness that goes into the whole process of how you employ. Mm-hmm. And I think that's overlooked.
Sure.
We talk about people and, you know, what's the biggest challenge on that? People. Well, how much time do you put into your biggest challenge, which we always find out is our biggest opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was so thoughtful in terms of your process and why, obviously, even though it's just a question, it's not just a question. Mm-hmm. And I love how you kind of pull that out of them, right? Mm-hmm. And there's right and wrong answers, mm-hmm. Even though you don't think there might be, right? So I hope I'm hired.
Always.
But just for everybody listening, like the detail in the answers, I think it's really powerful. And, you know, I've already got some ideas in terms of how do we take that away for us, right?
Sure.
Maybe for a staff member, for me, is what was your favorite job and tell me why?
Love right?
Something that you completed. And for us, it's tangible. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, you know, does he like a hard job or an easy job? Does mm-hmm. he like a, you know, a commercial job or a residential job? Like where his passions lie. And sometimes I find in interviews, it's hard to pull that relationship out of them.
Sure, for sure. And getting to know a person on that deeper level is I think extremely important. And showing you can have fun at the same time, you know, it's always a great way to incorporate a dash of fun and sometimes what is usually a serious process. But there's intention and purpose behind that type of a question for sure.
Yeah. And let's go with the intention and purpose. So, you know, talking about who you are as a person, obviously love the family man first. You can see that in your actions, especially in your community. talk about some of the community involvement that you do and how, you know, it's really, you know, a shining light in what seems like an incredible career so far.
Well, we were lucky that Carmen's hosts a lot of different community events. And so we were able to build relationships with so many corners of the community through the business. So that made our ability to connect with the community a lot easier. You know, we're hosting the CYO this week. We had the Bishop's dinner a few weeks ago. We're hosting the Charity Hope in a couple of weeks after that, the Chamber of Commerce as well. So this is just in the next little while. So we're fortunate that the business that we're in connects us into the community. It started though back with, you know, my father, my uncles, Sam and Morris, they were always community minded. So we got to, you know, to be part of the community, you know, at a very young age. And Joe and I were both on student council growing up. And so we were engaged in community politics, we'll call it, in elementary school student council, high school student council. I served as a student trustee, actually, for the Catholic school board in my last year at St. Thomas More. But now being a part of community it's part of the DNA of Carmen's group. And so we wear a couple different community hats. One thing that we're doing is helping support the Hamilton Cardinals baseball team. So it was a community initiative that we got involved in 2018. Not long after that, I helped to spearhead the Commonwealth Games bid for Hamilton. And we actually were awarded the bid from the Federation if we wanted to host the games in 2026, but we didn't have the political support to do so. And so we pivoted back to 2030, but that was a wonderful community initiative. And today, my brother and I and many members of our team are sitting on various community boards. So Joe is the chair of the Bob Kemp Children's Hospice, Keaton's House, Paul Paletta Children's Hospice project that'll be getting off the ground very soon.
Yep.
Joe was the chair of Hamilton Food Share for 10 years. And so he, during the pandemic, was, you know, playing the food share program, and their network of food banks were critical during the pandemic. The work we do with the Charity of Hope, we help many children's programs, including City Kids and Liberty for Youth, amongst many others. We're wearing different community hats all the time, and we love it. We love it. It's we're proud of it. I was invited years ago to champion the Hamilton Sign Initiative, and so Mayor Fred, who was the mayor at that time, asked me to help rally some business support around that. So I'm like, oh, okay, I got nothing to do this this week, so we'll help with that. But we're proud of the community work that we do. We probably have the better part of a couple dozen community partnerships with, you know, important organizations. We're working with Good Shepherd in the next couple of, I think it's in the next 6 weeks. We're bringing Rick Mercer, former CBC comic and TV personality. So bringing him in for an event, bringing in the who's the band member for Charity of Hope, Colin James. So Colin James is going to be performing the next Charity of Hope event. So we love to have fun with our community engagement as well, mm-hmm. And make them true community celebrations that make money for important causes. So we love that. I'd say the better part of 15 to 20% of my time is dedicated to a lot of the community initiatives that we're part of. So it is an active part of our work, and we love it.
That's amazing. And for anybody that hasn't, you know, really dove in, especially at the early stages of their business, it is by far the best thing you can do. You might feel like you don't have time. You always have time. And it's so fulfilling to be able to give back. And I'm sure with all the things that you and your team do, because I see someone at every single one I'm at, there's always an arm there. And I think it's really important to be able to spread out your wings and make sure that, you can't be at every event.
For
how do you manage your time, right?
No.
Because what you just listed there was probably more as a, you know, plethora than most of my, all my interviews combined.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Like it's a big stretch, right? I mean, everybody does initiatives and gives back. And I think, you know, being able to be supporting, especially when you're being able to host them, like we did at the convention center. We did the, donated our time at the Santa or holiday toy and food drive this year.
Right on.
That was fantastic.
Awesome.
And like incredibly how many people come through there to eat.
For sure.
And how many kids come there through there to get a toy from Santa.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very special.
No, it is special. And Christmas is a great time for a lot of the community events. That event specifically has a couple thousand people come through, right? So it's an important one. We also do one with Hamilton Police Services. It's actually a 35-year program that we've got with them at, up at Carmen's, where same type of a scenario where we feed, I think, 500 people. The police services have a Santa, have gifts. Usually city kids brings a bunch of the families and children up in buses.
Yep.
And it's a wonderful community event. There's musicians, there's dancers. It's Brian Mello was performing at the last one. And you know, my father had initiated that Christmas. It's called It's a Kid's Christmas Project Concern, but we've been doing it for 35 years, and it's pretty surreal. But we look forward to those types of community celebrations, and like you said, our team is deeply engaged in them. They're at the events, and we're even having many of our team members sit on boards. So our GM of the Hamilton Convention Center, Vince Botso, is sitting on the Chamber of Commerce board.
Yeah, I was with him.
Beautiful guy.
Yeah, fantastic.
Aaron Simon, our Director of People and Culture, is on the Industry Education Council Board of Directors. So we're proud that our team is actually stepping up and getting more involved in important community causes too.
That's fantastic, man.
Yeah. No, thank you.
So you said a lot of things there.
Sure did.
And you do a lot of stuff. You know, it's Saturday morning. He goes, I'll never forget. I saw you this week. And you go, Saturday morning, 8 a.m., eh? I'm like, yeah, it's perfect, isn't it? He goes, yeah, it's perfect. I'm like, that's it, man. I
love it.
I go, I know you're a busy guy. I go, you know, if I said Thursday at 3, the chances are very slim.
100%.
Yeah.
Saturday. I had nothing else on the radar at 8 a.m. on a Saturday. So this was a wonderful time to make it happen.
It's perfect. Yeah. And you know what? You got to respect the family time because you got to spend time with them. So, you know, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, well, it cuts into family time.
For sure. And I've got a routine on weekends where I'd say at least 3 hours on a Saturday or Sunday morning I'll spend with the family. Saturdays I tend to go into the office because it's a busy day in hospitality.
Of course.
And so I'm usually bouncing around the venues, but I try to be intentional about spending time with the family Saturday mornings, Sunday mornings, and spending a bit more time with them on Sundays. Although, you know, hospitality is it's a 7 day a week type of initiative and type of role and world. But I am very purposeful about carving time out for them on weekends when I can. And throughout the week, I try to be home once or twice, for dinner on a Monday through Thursday. And then we try to take our family vacations and usually, you know, and, you know, one of the blessings and curses of the virtual world is you know, you
I know where this is going.
So vacations now, it's not uncommon for me to have a couple of Zooms or Microsoft Teams calls, and I don't mind it as long as I structure it strategically. And so now on vacations, I usually will be working from 8 till 12, but then I'm off from 12 on. So I'll be able to get some work done early.
Yeah.
While the family is eating and doing their thing. And so I could stay connected, but then I pivot and focus on the family.
Yeah. And so getting into that a little bit, we talk about entrepreneurship and how that can be a very big challenge in a lot of people's lives. And what I heard from that is you have a routine and a structure where there's an expectation that you hit,
100%. And setting up, having, and I learned this from my Uncle Sam. He was the one that said having the structure and the routine delivers the freedom and delivers your ability to focus on what matters for you. You got to put boundaries in place. You got to be disciplined. But having that system and structure, is, you know, every week and every month and every quarter, for, you know, however it makes sense for you, but you got to curate it for what matters for you. But building it in is so critical, and it's not only for family, but also for, you know, for yourself, for your friends, for what matters in your life. You know, I've been more intentional the last couple of years on health and wellness, and so, you know, carving out usually one or two gym sessions early morning,
a little handball
at the YMCA with our group of pals, and so now I structure that into my world. My team respect it, you know, and so it's important to just create that structure and balance, because it ultimately delivers you know, dividends and ROI in many different ways.
And so going back to that and talking about boundaries, I think it's a great topic to kind of dig into. I was told about the difference between rules and boundaries. And so setting that up in the sense of, you know, having a rule like don't call me after 9, or, you know, the boundary would be like, you know, after 9 is my alone time with the family, mm-hmm. or whatever I'm going to do. Please respect that time.
Sure.
In terms of a boundary for that. How do you find when you set up your boundaries with all these people kind of asking you for your time? Do you ever feel like that? But also, I find at your stage, I guess I'll wait till you answer and then I'll go to the second part of the question.
It's tough, and it depends on the who and what the situation is, you know, and so there have been times where, I've been on a vacation and just have been, you know, I'll never forget two years ago, I was on a vacation with my family in Punta Cana, and our in-laws were with us, and we had just finished closing the deal to buy the Arlington Hotel in Paris. And we had not yet closed. I literally landed. I'm on the plane, just landed in the Dominican, and our director of business development is calling me because we needed to get the insurance certificate. But I was on 5 calls, you know, as I'm going through the airport. And it was, you know, so the boundary was just broken. Like, you know, vacation just started off, you know, on a chaotic foot. Then for the balance of that week, we were, in a very important, critical final negotiation stretch with the city of Hamilton and our downtown entertainment precinct deal. And I kid you not, from that Tuesday through Sunday, I must've had 40 calls with or Zooms, you know, with city folks and, you know, different partners. And so that whole vacation was railroaded. So it was, but it was strategically, critically, it was a kind of not a crisis, but it was a high pressure, thing that needed to get done. And so unfortunately in that situation, boundaries were broken, but I told my wife, we're going to make it up. I'm going to give you a do-over vacation, which we had scheduled. And so it's important, you know, when boundaries sometimes break, it's not allowing that to be the norm, but just, you know, make it an exception and then try to get back to having that structure in place. You know, there have been times where, you know, my team are great when I'm on vacation or need to be off the grid to respect my space. But a lot of my business partners and associates who they don't know I'm on vacation. So they're still reaching out to my cell phone, expecting me to pick up or answer. And a lot of the times, you know, when they find out that I'm on vacation, they're like, oh, shoot, sorry, I didn't mean to bother you. But it still happened. So it's you know, as you get to a certain role with a business, you know, you got to be more intentional about creating those boundaries, because it could be the time could be eaten up from so many different angles. And so sometimes it's okay, sometimes it's not, but it's just part of the evolution, right? You know, as you're growing a business and doing a lot of things like you're doing as well, you're juggling a lot. And so sometimes, there's a lot of demand on your time, and you just got to roll with it, you know, do the best you can with it.
Would you change it for anything else?
No, no. I joke with my family and our team members. I can't complain about it because the world we're in is a creation of our imagination, right? Yeah. So Carmen's group today, it was just Carmen's at one point, right? Of course, and so we had just that one business, and it was. We could have been perfectly happy for the rest of our lives with that, but we saw the talent of the people that were working for us, and so we said we have to grow this business to create opportunities for these wonderful people. And so that's what gave birth to the hotel and to many of the other venues that we have today, of which we have, I think, 7 different event venues and brands within the hospitality side of the business. And it was through the great people that we were nurturing, we grew the business. And so it's our own creation. It's our own. So I can't complain about being too busy because we were intentional about growing and doing more. So this is the byproduct of that. Right. So it's all good. It's all good. I wouldn't change it for anything.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I find interesting when entrepreneurs talk about they're busy or their struggles or the challenge. And I just go, would you ever go back to working for somebody else?
Right.
And they go, oh no, no chance. I go, so shut up.
For sure.
Right.
It's always a dash more, there's moments when you are the leader, you got to deal with the good, the bad, the ugly.
That's it.
I'm okay to do that. Because I didn't want to, just kind of, you want to grow and evolve and taking on more responsibility is part of the game. And a lot of the times people would never want to go back to once you've made that leap, into entrepreneurship and being a leader, you've got to roll with everything that comes at you.
Yeah. And it's beautifully said. And entrepreneurship goes to intrapreneurship and, making that staple of, taking on the responsibility. It's a gift. It's a unique ability that you have to be able to do so. And I think that's when when other people look at you and from the outside in, just like myself, and you're crazy. I don't know how you do it. It's like, it's just natural. It just rolls off the tongue, right? Like, this is my happy place. Like in, common chaos, they talk about being as a natural character trait in a great entrepreneur, great leader, like, good to great. And we talked about the book earlier. And it's beautiful to watch, beautiful to see, because right? And I think a lot of entrepreneurs have a hard time saying they're on vacation to people because they feel like, oh man, he's not going to think I'm crushing it, right? But it's important to share what you're doing and why. And in my personal experience, it's always been so well received for the team. Oh, sure. Good. Finally.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He's going to come back recharged. We're probably going to have to shut down a couple of his ideas.
For sure. But vacations are great too, because I'm an advocate for them for our entire leadership team. Some of the best ideas that you get are when you're detached and separated and your brain can think more freely, you could problem solve a lot better than when you're in the chaos of the day to day. And so I'm an advocate for those vacations and breaks for myself and our team because of that mental clarity that you get. And I'm getting better, and with the support of my wife and our team, I try to take 2 mini PJ retreats every year to just think, to problem solve, to have clarity. I love whenever I can get on a flight. I love flights with my family. I love flights without my family. And the 3 kids can sometimes take up a lot of energy when you're on a flight. But I had to do a quick business trip and I had a 4.5 hour flight. I got more work done on that 4.5 hour flight than I would have in, you know, 50 weeks or 50 hours in the office. So 4 hours on a flight versus 40, 50 hours in the office, I was able to crush work and problem solve a lot of things. And then, yeah, having those, vacations are good for business and good for the self too.
Totally. Yeah. Every time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, coming to a close here, we always ask this question because there's so many nuggets from today that I'm sure all the listeners are really looking at is, what advice would you give to your younger self? Maybe making that, think about a time where you were early in your entrepreneur career.
So there's a quote from the movie Rocky Balboa. So it's Stallone's epic speech that he gives to his son. And I heard this and it hit me to my core. And the world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place. And I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody's going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning gets done. If you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not point fingers at him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. That quote is literally tattooed in my mind, and I would tell that to my younger self, because the reality is business, entrepreneurship, being a leader, just living on planet Earth, it's not easy. It's a grind. And what I would tell my younger self is, don't expect the journey to be easy. Don't expect it to be painless, because you're going to be in those moments where you're grinding and you are fighting like no other. You're going to have pandemics coming at you and you're going to have to shut down your business for 2 years. Buckle up, figure it out.
Yeah.
I tell my younger self to learn how to be resilient, learn how to pivot, learn how to adapt, learn how to evolve. Recognize that as a leader, it's a roller coaster ride. You're going to have highs, you're going to have lows, you're going to have twists and turns, you're going to have emotional swings, but you got to buckle up. And you're going to have those moments where you will fail. And in failure, keep your head up. You're going to have those moments where you will succeed. But in success, stay humble, keep your head down, take one step at a time. And so you just need to recognize that it's an adventure, but you need to earn your calluses. You need to be okay for those times in your journey where there is no safety net. You're on a tightrope and you need to just walk one step at a time. And it's not always going to go your way, but as you kind of get those bumps and bruises throughout the journey, you become stronger, you become more capable, you develop character. And it's in those moments of crisis, it's in those moments of grind where true growth happens, right? And I look back to all of the problem points in my career, and it's those moments and those experiences that have helped to shape the organization into what it is today, shape me as a leader today. So I relish the fact that there have been moments of failure and moments of chaos, sometimes forces beyond my control. Like my father once said that if he had to endure 2 years of a pandemic, he would have never gotten into the business to begin with. He said, if I knew in the year 2020, there was going to be a global pandemic that's going to shut down event venues for 2 years.
Yeah.
He said, I would have never built that hall. Like that's just who would want to be in a scenario. But we had to adapt and evolve. We have 400 people that work for us. We have a lot of, a lot of business loans that we needed to pay off, and we had to pay them. So we had to get creative. We had to find ways to endure. And through that, it gave birth to new divisions in the company today. It gave birth. So in those moments, where you're knocked down and where the world isn't sunshine and rainbows, those have been the moments that have transformed, the company and me as a leader. And so I tell my younger self, just, be prepared for that. It's not going to be easy. Be resilient and things are going to work out okay.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that, man. I think it's so special and so powerful. And it's interesting because, that's what I find is so interesting and special when you're talking about entrepreneurship to somebody else and you're preparing them to go to war.
Sure.
Like, just buckle up. You don't have to be totally terrified.
Right.
Because if I knew what was coming, I don't know if I would have done it. You know what I mean? For sure. In the moment, you have no choice, which is the best choice.
Yeah.
Right? It's the only choice.
No, 100%.
Just keep going.
Just keep going. And I would trade it in for nothing else. Right. It's special when you can kind of do something that you're passionate about and curate and create and architect a business and a life around your passions, right? And then when you're doing that, problem solving and dealing with the stress of it, it makes it a lot easier.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today.
No, thank you, Dan. My honor, buddy.
You know, getting those nuggets firsthand. I needed to share the question about the interviews. Just something that was so special to me, and it made an impact in how we interview going forward. So I really appreciate that.
No, thank you. It was an honor, and keep it up with this podcast. I think it's awesome, and I think what you know you're doing with building your brand and business, and it's awesome to see. So keep it up. It's pretty incredible.
Thanks, man. So again, guys, episode 59. I can't believe we're here. For everybody tuning in, thank you so much for listening. If you can, like and share, obviously getting the word out there. We just want to, again, thank PJ so much for his time today. If you didn't get anything from this, you should re-listen to it. But you can find us on Instagram, Facebook. The Carmen's Group will be all over our page and our bio. Check them out. If you haven't had a wedding yet, this is the place to go. If you need your next event, this is the place to go. If you have family coming into the city, they're the place to go. You'll be really impressed with how the experience is at the places that they enjoy.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks, buddy. Cheers.